Turtle Island is the continent we call home. It is the name used by many First Nations who believe our lands were formed on the back of a turtle.
So that turtle is that beautiful, all-powerful, encompassing teacher from the beginning of time.
Grandmother Vivian Racolet is sharing the Anishinaabe creation story.
When creation first was here, our people say that a long time ago, before the turtle came, that there was already life on the planet, but it was just the water beings that were out there. There was a time when Creator sent another great flood to take care of all the disrespectfulness of everything that was happening because of the greed and selfishness of our ways.
Long ago, up in Sky World, a young woman found a hole in the sky. She fell and plummeted towards our flooded world. That's when all the animals of the water gathered to help her.
The birds saw this beautiful woman flying in the air, coming down, and they knew that she needed a place to land, so the geese got together and she landed on their back so she would have a nice soft landing. And then the other animals and the fish and the birds and everybody got together and they said, "Oh, we have to do something fast. What can we do?"
And that's how the strong, slow, and steady strength of the great turtle became her home.
Turtle came up and he was the one that said, "She can go on my back."
Tanse, Anin, Buju, hello and welcome. This is Unreserved. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. The turtle and its teachings of truth led Grandmother Vivian on a journey of healing.
We're the guides of our people since the beginning of time. The turtle is revered for the truth and its responsibilities for the water, the earth, the sky world.
Now, as part of the Turtle Protectors, she is returning the favor. Along with co-founder Carolyn Crawley, the Turtle Protectors guide and revive the turtle population in Toronto parks.
A lot of people who live in the city don't even know that turtles live in the city. They think of them as a being that lives out in the countryside.
Plus, Elder Gary Sue invites us to his backyard to share an important message from the turtle to humanity.
I want those people to come along with me on the same journey that I'm taking so that we can help to save the earth in this time of climate change.
Today, as part of our occasional Sacred Seven series, guided by the turtle's teaching of truth, these Indigenous people protect and pass on her stories and songs.
So this is our storage locker in the park. So this is where we keep a lot of our supplies. So nest protectors, containers to transport hatchlings if needed. We have the stakes to install the nest protectors. We have flags so people can see the nest protectors to prevent them from being a tripping hazard as well.
Welcome to High Park. Toronto's largest public park nestled in the city's west end. It has black oak savanna woodlands, gorgeous gardens, a zoo, a cafe, and plenty of activities. In between the woods and fields sits ponds full of wildlife. On this June day, by the shores of Grenadier Pond, Carolyn Crawley is teaching two new volunteers and our producer, Elena, how to be turtle protectors.
And we're going to get you to install a nest protector. Okay.
June is nesting season for mama turtles. It's a critical time for turtle protectors, also known by their Anishinaabe name, Mishike, he's also in.
So what you need is you need 4 steaks and 4 washers.
Carolyn is teaching her volunteers how to put up a nest protector. They look like small wooden frames on the ground with a roof made of wire mesh. The next time you're here, be on the lookout for the little orange flags. But watch your step. These nest protectors shield turtle eggs and hatchlings from predators, pets, and of course, clumsy humans.
Mama's gonna be walking around to her spot. You're gonna, like, when she's walking, you literally just wanna be out of her, like I said, line of vision, just following her, making sure that if you see anybody with their dogs off leash, just going up to them and saying, hey, my name is Miles, and I work with turtle protectors, and have you heard about us before? And, you know, are you in the park every day? Have you seen any turtles today? You know, just kind of engaging in conversation and just say, listen, like, you know, if you see any turtles, can I give you our hotline number so you can call us? And, you know, we protect the turtles because they're at risk when they come out on land. And we also protect their nests. We're just asking people if they can please keep the dogs on leash, because that way it's less of a threat to the turtle, or even a less of a threat to the dog as well if they have an interaction with a snapping turtle. And I'd say the majority of people will quickly put the dogs back on leash because they know why. Then once what we're gonna do is, you know, a painted turtle could take a couple hours, a snapping turtle could take up to 4 hours or so. So we're gonna be here with turtle, and once turtle is finished, you know, you'll notice she'll start burying the nest. Like, you'll see
a curious new volunteer joins this circle, a mallard duck.
Hi, friend.
Come learn.
Are you coming to the circle to share? If you want to just hammer this one in, right? So just hammer it all in there.
Being a good turtle protector isn't just about installing the hardware to keep them safe. Many parkgoers don't even know they're sharing these hills and ponds with turtles. Some of them are almost too tiny to spot.
This is known as Cherry Blossom Hill. We like to call this hill Hatchling Hill because, you know, our program, before doing our program, it wasn't known where all these turtles were nesting in the parks. And because of our work and because of the volunteers that support us, we've learned that this hill is actually a hot spot for turtle nesting. And, you know, like I said, if you look up at the top of this hill where all of these cherry tree blossoms or these cherry trees are positioned, imagine a tiny hatchling about the size of a quarter to a loonie that's dark colored trying to navigate down this big hill. And there's like thousands of people in the park. So unfortunately, the previous years and this year, we did find hatchlings that were stepped on and killed. What we're trying to do is restore this hill, because it was interesting when parkgoers were here and they were saying, well, these turtles are really picking a bad spot to nest. And I explained to them that these turtles have been nesting here long before the arrival of these gifted Japanese trees. Those turtles are just following their original instructions. They have great intelligence. They know where they need to go and what they need to do. And there's so much that we can learn from these relatives.
Carolyn has been protecting nature since she was a little kid. But her journey to turtle protecting started with a chance encounter right here in Hyde Park.
You know, it was during the height of the pandemic. Everybody was flocking to parks, and I happened to go to Hyde Park in the early morning, and I came across this big mama snapping turtle who was walking in the grass, and ended up calling Jenny, who's also the co-founder with me. And we stayed with this mama for 4 hours. And through that process, we learned through phone calls to different organizations and turtle groups that she was actually looking for her place to nest. So turtles have site fidelity. They always come back to the same nesting spot year after year if they survive. And we stayed with that mama for 4 hours. And it was at a time when I was working from home. I actually had a Zoom meeting as well while I was hanging out with Turtle. My phone even died during the Zoom meeting.
And, you know, but people at work, they understood because they know who I am. I've been a person who's been helping or bringing home lost, injured, and orphaned animals since I was so little, because I grew up with that deep relationship with the land, and that was taught to me. You know, and I was the kid who played outside until the streetlights came on. So, you know, this mama, we stayed with her for 4 hours while she laid her eggs, witnessed that. It was such a gift to be there, an honor to be there. Through that whole process, we learned that there was no official turtle protection program in the city of Toronto, even though all 8 species are at risk. There's actually no mandate, nothing that's happening to support these relatives, and they're important. You know, they help to clean those waters. So Jenny and I were like, hey, we should start something. We're like, yeah, let's do it. And here we are going into our third year, and we've expanded not just from High Park, but we're in 7 other parks. You know, turtles taught me to slow down, to be in the present moment. Always that teaching comes when I'm with turtle. And to really tune into my senses, to be aware. You know, turtle is such a vulnerable being, but turtle is so in tune to their surroundings. You know, just a slight movement of a human, you know, they're noticing, right? And, you know, I think about how many times people may walk through a park and really not notice, you know, all the relations around them. So really, turtle tells us to tune in, to pay attention. We always joke with volunteers, like sometimes, you know, you might be in a hurry. You need to get somewhere. You're wanting turtle to kind of hurry up, you know, what's taking her so long, you know? Or those hatchlings, come on, little ones, you got to get into the water. And then it's just that teachable moment once again, right? Oh, yeah, actually, I need to slow down. I need to be in turtle's time.
Carolyn Crawley is the co-founder of the Toronto group Michiquin Gijazawin, also known as Turtle Protectors. She is Mi'kmaq, Black, and Irish, and a member of Turtle Clan. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, US Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, protecting and passing on the teachings of the turtle. We'll return to the park a little later, but first, protecting nests isn't the only job on the Turtle Protectors team. Grandmother Vivian Recollet leads their work with ceremony and guides the group in a good way. She is Anishinaabe from Wikwimikong, unceded territory, and is part of Turtle Clan. The turtle's teachings guided her in her own life, and now she passes those teachings forward. Grandmother Vivian, welcome.
Oh, Miigwech. First of all, I wanted to introduce my name. It's Bakasakwe, Mijikendo Dem, Wikwemkongini Donjaba, Anishinaabe Kwegini Dao. It's always important to identify with the territory that you come from and who you are, but I am Turtle Clan.
Now, can you please share what you know about what the role of the turtle is in the Anishinaabe grandfather teachings? Why does the turtle represent truth in Anishinaabe culture?
Part of the beautiful teaching that I received from my healers and elders is that because I was not raised with my parents, it was the turtle that came to get me, to bring me to this beautiful life. Because I grew up in foster homes and was a part of the 60 Scoops and the Indian Day School. So it has a lot of to do with the history of my own creation story, I guess, in a sense. So it's important to remember our beginnings and to put them into context when we do our teachings. And that's what the turtle is all about. It's about the truth. When I think about the teachings that I learned, I went to every ceremony there was. I went to every circle there was so I can learn, so I could empty all that stuff that I had filled myself to believe that I was no good, that I was rotten, that I was a savage, and I was all of those negative connotations that my parents were nothing but and blah, 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 and all these things, you know. But I started to empty all those things and started putting in all these beautiful things that I was learning about who I am as a Anishinaabe Kwe, as a Anishinaabe child, as a Anishinaabe sister, auntie, all of these things. The turtle is revered for the truth and its responsibilities for the water, the earth, the sky world.
Well, thank you for that. I understand that the whole turtle, like the body, the shell, also means different things. What's the significance about the sections on its back, on their back, of the outside of the shell?
Yeah, it's our original calendar.
Hmm.
Yeah. So on the inside, it's got the 13 scutes, and then on the outside, it's got the 28.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the cycle of the women's menstrual cycle. Every 28 days, we have our cleansing, our own ceremony.
What?
Everything is so interconnected in our teachings.
I'm just stunned here. My mouth is agape.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the 13...
The 13 moons.
Around the shell mm-hmm. represents
mm-hmm.
like a calendar, right?
The moons.
The moon.
Like, I was born in July, but I've tried to get people to understand that they were born in the time of the raspberry moon, the strawberry moon, the waskanegesis, the flower moon, the bear moon. Right now, we're in the time of the freezing moon, bashkaktonegesis, which is a time when everybody, all of creation is getting ready to hibernate and slow down. And this is a time when we, as a people, start to settle down and start singing those songs and do the storytelling. Every one of those moons has a beautiful teaching. And every full moon ceremony we do, that is what we do, is we teach the women about their responsibility and how Grandmother Moon never faltered from her original instructions to take care of us. She is the one responsible for us bringing forth life into this world. Next to Creator, we should be held in the highest esteem because of that capability to bring forth life.
Wow. And the 28 sections represent a women's cycle, you're saying?
Yeah. Every 28 days, we go through our cleansing where we have our menstrual cycle. We are in ceremony at that time to cleanse.
Wow. That's amazing.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. A lot of people would say, well, that's just a coincidence.
Well, I think the coincidence was thought of after the fact because turtle has been here since the beginning of time. And so have the teachings of the people that were given those instructions to pay part of Akikwe, Dodomaki, Mother Earth, and be in tune with all of the creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we sit in ceremony to learn these things. And patience is something that we learned a long, long time ago because we could sit there for hours and listen and listen and listen. And, you know, some people get upset when they say, well, they always say the same thing over and over and over again. Well, that's because you have to hear it over and over again because repetition is consistency. Consistency creates you to remember it. The same repetitious story that they tell you means something different each time. You heal more and more. And then you finally get it and you say, aha, that's what that's all about. Because it's in the process of the journey that you get to understand the wholesome meaning of our teachings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a quick fix. It's not something that just happens just like that. Because it takes a while to heal. Every single thing that we have out there has their original instructions on how to work together to bring unity and harmony on Mother Earth.
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful. And for you as a member of the Turtle Clan, how do you uphold the teachings around truth?
You know, nobody likes to hear the truth.
Mm-mm, no, they do not.
It is really hard, but my elder, Grandma Rose, she's the one that taught me about being gentle and kind and soft. Not to speak harshly to people,
mm-hmm.
but to be very gentle and kind and respectful. And when you talk about the truth in those kind and gentle ways, it's much more softer. And people gravitate to kindness and they gravitate to gentleness. You know, some people like, okay, you know, like we're parents. We yell and scream at our kids. What do? They do the same thing over again. But if you talk to them in a kind way and say, you know what, I understand you're going through your growth and you want to be independent and make decisions for yourself, but you're causing problems to hurt yourself, and I just want to make sure that that's not going to happen. If you change the story to be kind and reflective and about them and them to be able to make those choices, they're more apt to succeed in being a young adult. I know I had to go through that with my son. So I said, okay, I'm just here if you need me, but the choices you make are yours. And I want you to know that there's always a two-way street here, that it's not always going to be give and take. It's always going to be have that conversation. And we might not agree on some things, but we'll come to a win-win situation if we talk it out.
And how did the turtle guide you to come to that, to tell truth in a gentle way, to be, you know, kind when you are delivering something that might be hard for people to listen to?
Well, I mentored under my elder amongst many, many other elders and healers. And you embody your name and your clan responsibilities. This is who you are. I'm not Vivian Reckley. That's a colonial name given to me. Reckley is a French name. I'm not French. It was given to us by the French missionaries that came to our reserve that couldn't say our name, so we were named after those French missionaries. We're in the process of reclaiming our own Anishinaabe names that were there before that, which is something that's going to be so impactful for all our First Nations people to be able to come to understand their original last names and the meanings of them. So the truth is always going to be the one that's going to guide us to the next generations that are coming after us. And we're the ones that are paving that way so that our children and our grandchildren will be able to walk with so much more knowledge and be proud and certain of who they are without questioning themselves. They will know who they are already because they'll be intact spiritually.
You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, U.S. Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. My guest today is Vivian Reckley. We'll hear more from Vivian in a little bit. Taking us there, a song about Sky Woman. At the beginning of the show, we heard how after Sky Woman fell, the great turtle gave her a home on his back. The late singer Joanne Shenandoah created a pop orchestral work about the Haudenosaunee Iroquois creation story. This is Joanne Shenandoah and Sky Woman.
Is calling, bring life unto me. She fell to the lonely sea, all wrapped in light, with no place to land as she came to sight. All animals gathered to carry the earth. For Sky Woman to give life, to give birth.
That was Sky Woman by Joanne Shenandoah, a citizen of the Oneida Nation, Wolf Clan of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy in upstate New York. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, U.S. Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, how turtle guides us with truth and how people are protecting them and passing on their lessons. My guest today is Vivian Recollet, Anishinaabe grandmother and advisor to the Toronto group Turtle Protectors. And you hear that?
So, you know, whether it be, you know, assisting a turtle to get safely across the road, we always tell people that wherever the direction that turtle is going is the direction you need to take that turtle.
That's Grandmother Vivian's teachings being put into action in Hyde Park.
Oh, here's another volunteer. How's it going?
Grandmother Vivian has been working with Turtle Protectors since the beginning. She told me how this work began.
It all began with, I guess, when we started out in 2018, I think, from the Hyde Park Indigenous Land Stewardship Circle, where some young people came to me and wanted to address the fact that they were using pesticides in Hyde Park at the burns and to get rid of invasive species and that. And there was no awareness brought about the effects and impacts on those little four-legged creatures, the creatures that were inhabitants of the Hyde Park itself, and the waters, the fish, the turtles, all of those things were being impacted by all that pesticide use. And, you know, that all started with them, and then bargaining for being inclusive of Indigenous peoples at the Oak Savannah Burns, which is an ancient ceremony that Anishinaabe people carried a long time ago. And how come they're not asking any Indigenous involvement in that context? So we paved the way, and then we paved the way, and then we finally are a part of those Oak Savannah Burns, and we do ceremony with the sacred fire pipe ceremony starting early, sunrise ceremony in the morning. And then from the fire, sacred fire, the coals, the hot embers are taken to each fire site to ignite so that it's done in a beautiful, spiritual, culturally relevant, sensitive way so that we're doing justice to Mother Earth, to let her know that we have prayed for her and all the beautiful lands that we're going to be taking care of so that they bring forth new life and new growth of plants and medicines.
Yeah. Why do you think it's important to start this work, you know, all of this work to preserve and protect turtles with, you know, ceremony?
It's our responsibility. We have a responsibility as Anishinaabe people to take care of those beings, because they are the ones that sustained us from the beginning of time. They're the ones that taught us how to survive, how to live. And they provided the food sustenance for us. They gave themselves to us so that we can survive. So the least we could do is honor them and protect them as well, because there's so much stuff happening to them there. You know, like, this is a beautiful park, Hyde Park. I don't know if you've ever been here, but it's a beautiful park. It's so beautiful. There's sacred mounds there that have been disturbed. There's so much degradation on that land. You know, when I was doing a water ceremony there one time, I was standing with my back towards the water. And guess what? A big beaver came swimming behind me. And everybody was going, look, oh my gosh, it's a dinosaur. I said, what? Because there was a bunch of children. I think it's a dinosaur. So I turned around and it was a huge beaver. And I just felt chills go up my spine, because where I come from, Wequimic, Mekong, is the Bay of the Beavers. That beaver came to thank me for doing that ceremony. And I thought, wow, if that isn't the sign from Creator, I am so full of gratitude that I'm able to see this and know that the intention of that beaver is to thank me for speaking for those waters at Hyde Park.
Beautiful. And finally, Grandma Vivian, how What advice could you give to help us, you know, how can we walk with Turtle, you know, in a good way to guide us every day in our everyday lives?
Look at the calendar. It's right there every day. The months, those cycles, the whole year is all on that turtle. Look at your calendar and look at the teachings, the indigenous teachings for each month. What is your birthday?
Mine?
Yeah.
My birthday's in June.
June. So you're born in the time of the strawberry moon. The strawberry is about reconciliation, letting go of self-righteousness and the past, and inviting people home to have a big feast and gathering and celebrate. And the strawberry is the heartberry, and it is known for its beautiful gifts of love. And not only that, it purifies the lands. The strawberry purifies the lands. The sema activates the plants. The strawberries purify the lands. So the teaching is so beautiful of your month of birth rather than just June. Mm. What does that mean?
I love that. I love strawberries. Yeah. I have all kinds of beadwork strawberries. I got medallions. I got earrings. I love it.
So understand the teaching of that moon and think of yourself as that. That's where you came from that month.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, yeah. I encourage women and families to teach each other all these things. You know, when you have your children, you don't say you were born in July. You say, you were born in the time of the raspberry moon. Me and my granddaughter were born in July, and she's been to a full moon ceremony since she was 3 years old. And one day I heard her talking, and she said, me and my Mikas, we were born in the time of the raspberry moons. We came through the thorns of life.
Oh, that's so poetic. I love it.
So cute. Because, you know, the thorns, when you try to reach the raspberry, the thorns. She remembered me talking about that, to get to that sweetness of life. Which is the berry. Yeah, to that berry. Yes.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us in terms of Turtle and what Turtle teaches us?
Well, I'm really impressed with Jiken Dishaswin because of the fact that, you know, it has far outreached anything that we would ever think about, because now there's people from all over coming. We have the Turtle Parade, and we had, you know, such a beautiful Turtle Parade where everybody came dressed as a turtle, and, you know, other turtle protectors came from different lands to come and join us. It was a beautiful event. And, you know, when Carolyn and Jenny talked about the Turtle Protectors program, I said, you know, well, one thing I can offer is, you know, you should have a Turtle Clan feast and bring that back into community, because I don't see anybody feasting their clans anymore. Back in the day when I was learning, it was a must for us to feast our clans. All the Turtle Clan people got together, all the Bear Clan people got together, all, you know, the other clans got together and held their feasts and giveaways to be grateful and show gratitude. So that is part of what I do.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us and sharing some time with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Jimmy Wetch, for asking.
Vivian Recollet is an Anishinaabe grandmother and an advisor to the Toronto group Turtle Protectors, also known as Mishike Kizazawin. This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, U.S. Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Back in Toronto's High Park, Carolyn Crawley is training her two young recruits, Miles and Alicia, to become Turtle Protectors. Next up on the curriculum, nest identification.
Which turtle do you think laid here? Just by looking.
Painted. I forget what it's called. No.
Yeah, so the painted, right? Like painted, you said. Yeah, right? Because there's not much of disturbance here.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, where I was showing you that one spot where, oh, this could be where a snapping turtle laid, right? Because there's so much disturbance in the ground.
High Park's most common turtle residents are the Midland Painted Turtle and the Snapping Turtle.
Is it more common for snapping turtles to be more in the swampier, kind of closer to the water? You know what I mean?
Not necessarily. So with the turtles, because they can travel up to 9 kilometers to their nesting site, you'll never find a nest right beside the water, like literally beside the water, because of risk of flooding to the nest.
For Carolyn, it's important these new team members not only know about turtles, but speak about them with care.
Just so you all know too, right, about how we speak about turtles, right? When whether we're talking to each other or whether we're talking to the general public, it's really important that we speak of turtle with that respect, right? So, you know, we're not using the words it or a thing to reference turtle. They're a living being, and so that's a colonial construct to reference any living being as an it or a thing if they're not human. And so we don't use that language. If we know that mama, if this turtle is a mama, then we'll use her pronoun she. With other turtles, we might just say they, them, if we don't know who they are, or just reference them as turtle or the name of turtle. So, you know, there's been times where people will kind of make a comment about turtle. If they're like, oh, turtle's so stupid, she's going that way. And I always say, we don't talk about turtle that way. Right? And turtle's intelligent. We just don't understand what turtle's doing.
Language is one way Carolyn does this work with Etu Aptamunk, or two-eyed seeing in the Mi'kmaq language.
We teach volunteers the importance of seeing through Indigenous ways of knowing and being in healthy relationship that's reciprocal with the land and with all the beings. And by doing so, we even talk about how do we speak about these relatives? What are the words that we use to reference them? So we don't use the words it or things to reference these living beings. That's like a colonial language which creates hierarchies to show that only humans are worthy enough to be referenced as not as an it or a thing, and everybody else is. So, you know, through our ways, we see all the beings in a circle, right? There are no hierarchies. This is the territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Haudenosaunee and the Wendat. So, you know, our Anishinaabe Mohan name is Michigan Gajajuin. Gajajuin, Michigan is referencing turtle, and Gajajuin is referencing that fierce protectiveness that a mama bear has for her cubs when protecting them. And so Henry Pinawanakwa translated our name into Anishinaabe Mohan. And, you know, it's important that when, you know, there's a lot of talk about reconciliation, right? And, you know, it's important for people to know that when you look at the actual Oxford Dictionary, definition of reconciliation, it actually means to restore friendly relations. And, you know, that kind of makes me chuckle, because if I was to think about the history of these lands, you know, that there was a tiny, tiny percentage of that history may have been friendly relations, whether it was friendly relations with nations of peoples or friendly relations with the land. But most of that history was filled with violence and oppression. So we use the word reparations. So we're trying to reparate, right the wrongs that have happened, right, that have impacted turtle relatives and all relatives on the land. And so what we're trying to do is to minimize the human impacts upon these relatives, because these relatives were, you know, thriving before the arrival of colonization. And since the arrival of colonization, these beings have become what Western science references as species at risk. Toronto, you know, when I think about the turtles here living in what's known as Toronto, 85% of all wetlands in the city have been destroyed since the arrival of colonization. And so that has had a devastating impact upon the relatives, right? Because they're of habitat loss. And then the other big threat to them is road mortality. So, you know, with the development of structures and roads, these turtles have to navigate through a lot of obstacles and a lot of, you know, navigate through a lot of risk or threats to get to their nesting spots. So a lot of people who live in the city don't even know that turtles live in the city. They think of them as a being that lives out in the countryside. So there needs to be a lot of education that needs to happen as well, you know, and how to engage with all our relations in a respectful, reciprocal way, because a lot of people don't know how to. if every single person took on the responsibility to be in a healthy reciprocal relationship with the land, with all our relations, you know, it could make a huge difference. If we were to see all of these beings, right, as family or as kin, to be treated with the same love and respect and gratitude as we treat our human loved ones. If we all just did that one thing, then so much can change. But unfortunately, you know, capitalist society profits from the destruction of the earth. And the earth is often seen as a commodity, something to extract from. And, you know, whereas we see all of these relatives as family, as kin. And, you know, we have a responsibility. The earth can survive and thrive without us humans, but we cannot survive without the earth. And we have a collective responsibility to be in that reciprocal relationship. And we also have to think about them too when we're thinking generations ahead. You know, thinking about what will the waters be like, the plant relatives, the animal relatives, how is it going to be for them? I have hope, definitely, always, because when I see people who happen to pass by while we're with mamas nesting or assisting hatchlings, you know, it's an opportunity for people to engage. And it's really beautiful to see volunteers, you know, be moved by the experience of spending time with turtles or, you know, parkgoers who are passing by and learning information about them. I have hope because I remembered those times during the pandemic when people's behaviors had changed. We weren't going out as much. We weren't in the cars. We weren't in the planes. The ships were kind of grounded. And during that time, it was documented that all the animal relatives were starting to thrive again. They were coming out, that, you know, the whales were able to communicate with each other. So, you know, we have the ability to create change, right? It's just we have to change our own behaviors. We have to start with ourselves.
Carolyn Crawley is the co-founder of the group Turtle Protectors, protecting turtles and all our relations in Toronto parks. She is Mi'kmaq, Black, Irish, and a member of Turtle Clan. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, US Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Today, we're returning to our occasional series, Sacred Seven, to learn the teachings of the turtle. That includes learning their songs. Elder Gary Sue is a passionate land and water protector. One of his tools is song. The Anishinaabe turtle song was passed down from Elder Dan Pine. When Gary performs it, he's inviting listeners to come along on the turtle's important journey. Recorded in the beautiful woods behind his house, Elder Gary sang the Anishinaabe turtle song and shared its important lessons.
Ogechibik. It means the turtle is raising his head up from under the water, because he's a creature of two worlds, both the water and the land. Ogechibik Bama John. Bama John. He's getting ready to go on a journey. Ajikanekawijia. So when he steps his first feet upon the earth, the turtle is so happy he does a special dance. Ajikanekawijia. He kicks his back feet together. I've never seen a turtle do this, but he was one happy turtle. Ajikanekawijia kijiwa Anishinaabe. Gijiwa Anishinaabe. So he's saying, come along with the Anishinaabe and let's look at the earth and all of the things that have to be looked after, and see whatever we can't help to heal it. He sees all his medicines and his places of beauty have been rolled over by a bulldozer, and I guess he cries at that time because instead of healing, they desecrated the land and put it in a bad way. If we want to save our environment and get away from climate change, then we've got to start to listen to the Anishinaabe people and how they want to help to heal the earth in a good way. But you keep deterring us, you keep pushing us out of the way, out of the picture, so that we can't get our message across to the rest of the world. And if governments keep on doing that, then it's going to be the end of mankind, because they're not listening to the people that want to heal her in a good way. They say in the beginning of time, the Wabano. The Wabano was the first medicine society that the Anishinaabe people had. They led a group of followers with them to the Great Salt Sea, because that's where the sun come up. They were looking for governance. They prayed for a long time, and the Creator heard them, and he gave it to the four Mado. They're four like angels who sit on the four corners of the earth, and they help Mother Earth to look after it so that things would be in a good way. And so in the spirit world there, they deliberated for a long time, and then they called upon the crane. And the crane, with its mighty voice, then called upon the turtle. He's slow in the physical world, but in the spirit world, he can go from the past to the present to the future in the blink of an eye. And so he went and he found out the answers that he needed, and then he called upon the bear. And the bear, with its mighty paw, rent a hole from the spirit world into the physical world. Out of the waters there came six beings. And the six beings took wives amongst the Anishinaabe. And so the crane is the speakers, their leadership. The bear is for military strength, and he has underneath him the wolf and the lynx, and they're like his police force. Then comes the turtle, and he's hospitalization, because he's the head of the healers. He has all of those medicines that are there. He knows how to make them, and he knows how to use them. And so the Anishinaabe people watch the turtle and watch the other animals so that they can see what medicines are good. The men and the women that are destined to be healers, they see this, they use them, they start utilizing them. Right now, I got a project going that because of the rivers and the waters and the streams, they have to be monitored. And what better place than the Anishinaabe people to settle along the rivers and take the readings, and then they could add it. And so if there was something that was killing the fish, then you could monitor and find out what it was. We seen one time that there was a sewage treatment plant, and they were putting it up. And so I went there, and I said to the guy, I said, is that water pure? He said, sure, watch this, he said. He took a dipper, and he drank that right down. I said, that's all nice and pure, but what's the temperature of the water? Because if it goes back into the stream and it's not cold enough, then it'll kill the fish. So you have to be aware of that. And if they're going to make the water so that it's pure and everything else, let's make it cold enough for them to survive.
Yahweh, no, hello.
Yeah, I share the song because it's a nice song to listen to. If you hear it, then you want to know what it means. When I sing this song, I want those people to come along with me on the same journey that I'm taking, so that we can help to save the earth in this time of climate change. Make it into a journey where both of us are coming and we're both looking for the same outcome, a good and safe place for our future generations. If I don't give them something nice to hear first, then when I go into the things that are not so nice for them to hear, then they have a reason to listen to me, because I told them what happened to why the turtle is doing it all. I sing it four times. And so I'm singing it to call in all Mashomsanam and Daganakke Nokamaskewi, all of our grandfathers and all of our grandmothers. I'm calling them from out of the past, so that they can help us in this healing journey that we're on right now. Okichibik Mama John, Baba Bano Manake, Ajikaneka Weejia, Jijiwa Anishnabe.
That was Elder Gary Sue of the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, teaching us the Anishinaabe Turtle Song. That's all our time on Radio Indigenous. This episode was produced by Elena Hudgens Lyle, Rhiannon Johnson, Kim Casher, and Bridget Stringer Holden. You can listen to us streaming live on the CBC News app. Just go to the local tab and press play. You can also find and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your favorite cousin, Rosanna Deerchild, coming at you from Winnipeg in Treaty 1 territory. Gnanaskamit Nawa. Agusei.